Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the Book of Sirach. The Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard, his petitions reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds, it does not rest until it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The responsorial psalm. The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress, he rescues them.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him.
The Lord hears the cry of the poor. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Carla, we are at the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Coming up at the end of October, we've got some great feast days also coming forward, and a very popular secular holiday that actually has Christian roots. So we're going to talk about, of course, Halloween or All Hallows Eve, right? So we have, remember, early Christians for All Hallows Eve. They would call that because they would prepare for All Saints Day by holding a vigil on the night before. So All Hallows Eve. And then, of course, over time, Halloween has become a bit of a secular celebration. So I guess my encouragement to folks is Christianize Halloween in some way or another. Find a way to have your children wear saint costumes.
We do that in my parish.
Right?
The children
and that's fine. And then sometimes then the priest tries to decide or different who the saint is. That's
saint
great.
Costumes.
Stuff like that. You can even, we've in the past put taped little prayer cards or little saint cards on the candy that we hand out. Right? There's different ways to do that. Well, that's, of course, on the 31st. All Saints Day is on November 1st. This day, the church honors all saints, both those formally canonized and others who have attained heaven. A lot of this comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says, "And to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." So we have a beautiful recognition of all the saints in heaven on the 1st. And then November 2nd is All Souls Day. And on that day, that's dedicated to praying for the dead, especially those who have passed away within the past year. So remember, we have such an important gift in this prayer and intercessory prayer. Let us use that for All Souls Day. So some big days coming up, and please enjoy those. Oh, by the way, All Saints Day this year is not officially a holy day of obligation because it's on a Saturday, but there will be masses, and certainly we encourage you to attend mass for All Saints Day. All right. For the first reading, this comes from the book of Sirach. You know, I really like the book of Sirach, maybe just because it's very straightforward. It's practical advice for wise living. It borrows heavily from the book of Proverbs. So if you have not read the book of Sirach, I certainly encourage you to do so. But what I picked up this time is the line here says, "Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed." The Lord indeed has a special place in his heart for the poor, the oppressed, and those most vulnerable. And God's concern for those who cry out in need shows that God is listening and is acting as a just judge. And I'd say back then, like today, the poor are often treated poorly, dismissed as untrustworthy, or simply taken advantage of. But Sirach, in other chapters or in other verses here, points out the need for just treatment of the poor. In Sirach chapter 29, "Help the poor and do not send them away empty-handed." We also have, in fact, Deuteronomy 15. "Do not harden your heart or shut your hand from your poor brother." The poor will always be with us, and they provide all of us an opportunity to show charity. Now, of course, we often think of poverty in the terms of materialistic sense, and we in our country are very materially blessed. But I would say that we have a poverty in the United States today, and that is a spiritual poverty. We must protect those who are most vulnerable in our society today, particularly those still in the womb and the elderly. Mother Teresa has often said when she was alive, "It is a poverty that a child must die so that you may live as you wish." So let us humble ourselves and implore God that we may return to him, and this humility, and to be able to return to him as a country, and return that culture of life that our country so desperately needs.
Yeah, and that's been it. That's been the way of the world since the beginning of time, right?
It has been, and we keep on trying to change it. Yeah. We're going to be victorious.
Yes, we will.
Amen.
We know how this ends, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and the reading says, he uses the words, "The one who serves God is heard, his petition reaches the heavens." So this scripture passage focuses on God's justice, and like you said, it uses the images of orphans and widows to represent those who are the most vulnerable, the weak, the helpless, and often the forgotten members of society. You know, we have the example of many great saints who were born into wealth but renounced their worldly goods to better serve Christ. They found fulfillment in a life of poverty, serving the poor and the needy. You know, not all of us are called to live a life of poverty, but we are all called to serve God the way that Jesus taught us to serve him. We're all called to come to know God, to love God, and to serve God, and we cannot truly serve or love a God that we do not know. And we cannot live a truly Christ-centered life without prayer. Conversation with God should be first in our minds when we wake in the morning and the last thing before we go to sleep at night. And throughout our days, we should be mindful of God's blessings and turning to God in prayer. That should be the first thing that we do whenever we're faced with a problem of some sort, not the last thing. You know, we'll go, "Well, I guess all I can do is pray." It's like, no, the first thing you do is pray, right? Yeah, and this action of prayer, this prayer thing, it isn't so much about God hearing us, but it's about us hearing God, developing that, learning his voice, developing a recognition for his voice so that when he responds, we recognize his voice.
Yeah, and when you talk about that response, it's really serving God willingly, isn't it? How
yes,
important that is.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we have today in our second reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4 today.
Yeah, and Paul writes this letter when he is in prison the second time. And he tells us that he knew, or that in this letter, by talking about being poured out as a libation, he's telling us that he knows that he will soon become a martyr for Christ. He's soon going to be put to death. And here we are, 2,000 years later, and the words of St. Paul still ring true. His words are still relevant in this sinful world that we live in. St. Paul focuses on the promise of salvation, and he uses this letter as a final testimony of the faith by which he lived and by which he died.
Yes, and I really like how this reading here shows how Paul's life mimics Christ's life. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the little soundbite version of this second reading here, because it really gives us an example on how to live our life. He uses the words poured out. He offered himself as a sacrifice, much like oil poured out on an altar of sacrifice, much like Christ was poured out for us. He competed well. Our life is a spiritual combat. We're in football season. I believe football is probably the most team-oriented sport. Everyone has to be moving the exact same way, the exact same time, all in unison. We are on God's football team. Let us go ahead and make sure we compete. Well, prepare, right? Prepare for those 60 minutes, and let's go out and compete spiritually. Everyone deserted me. Of course, much like with Paul, that was similar to Christ's passion. But he was rescued, not from death, but from damnation. Mm-hmm. And then he ends, to him be glory. Never stop giving God the glory. Much like you were saying earlier, give God and serve God willingly. Always give him the glory. Well, let us finish today in our gospel. We hear from the gospel according to Luke. Two very interesting characters today. We got a Pharisee and we got a tax collector.
Yes, we do. I want to break apart the word Pharisee first. The word Pharisee is believed to have come from the Hebrew word Parash, I think that's how they say it, which means to separate. They were called Pharisees because they separated themselves from the things and the people that they considered to be sinful and sinners. Now, for the most part, the Pharisees prided themselves for strictly adhering to the Mosaic law. And this was problematic for them because, in their view, a strict adherence to the law, that's what meant being holy. But Jesus points out in this gospel, that's far cry from the truth. And we see that when this Pharisee starts his prayer, rather than acknowledging God's grace as the source of all goodness, the Pharisee, it says he prayed to himself and he took full credit as if he was the creator of goodness and as if holiness came from him and from his own doing. The Pharisee in this parable probably was living a righteous life. The problem with his prayer is that he credited himself for remaining faithful to God's law. That Pharisee failed to recognize that without the grace of God, he too would be lost.
And when you talk about the Pharisee here, I mean, he parades his credentials before God. He's presuming that his piety guarantees him some sort of divine blessing. Now, remember these two words, sin and pride. The middle of both of those words is I. Something to remember.
That's a good one.
And yet the tax collector, he offers no excuses, but asks for mercy. So I think as we close today, who do we compare ourselves to? Do we compare ourselves to the Pharisee? Man, I'm glad I'm not like that sinner. We've all been there. I have been there many times, right? I'm glad I'm not like him. Or do we compare ourselves, much like the tax collector, ourselves compared to God? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. We can never condone sinful actions, but we must not make ourselves better than others. We must always go to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Modern Day Radio. For more information about this show, go to moderndayradio.com. That's MATEREDEI radio.com.